Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Bankar. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
This is the first of my three podcasts today. Okay. So if I start getting a little confused and asking you about lacrosse, you'll understand. But so I got Matt Madelon coming up later, so that's the first one of the year for him, and then Chris Saylor after that.
Cool.
So
happy to be your first.
I know. So, but you and I are, this is where I think we did the basketball one before the first lacrosse one. Maybe I did lacrosse before basketball, but either way, kind of like the podcast.
We're rolling. We are rolling.
So that's what you said before we started. No prep. Let's just go. And that's what we always do. But before we get started, let's talk Valentine's Day and your kids. What's up with them for Valentine's Day?
It's actually also my three-year-old's birthday on the 15th. But we leave for Harvard Dartmouth on Thursday, which is Valentine's Day. We leave. And then, of course, we're not back until late Saturday night. So my Valentine's Day will be spent with the Tigers this year.
So are your kids into it, though? You get, like, chocolate and stuff like that for them? Or?
You know, they make Valentine's for their class. You know, that's kind of a big thing right now. And they each get, a little card that has a Paw Patrol figure on it or whatnot. And then they will make one for their grandmothers and things like that. But, yeah.
And what about birthday gifts?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you get a three-year-old now?
I think I have every version, both, in all different fabrics and in all different sizes of a unicorn. Had a party this past weekend for her, and the unicorn theme.
Unicorn was big.
The lollipops to the napkins to the, there are so many unicorns in my life right now. I'm a little overwhelmed.
So we can segue into basketball, if you like, from there.
Always.
So, first of all, do your kids show signs of wanting to play?
Oh,
they're young, right?
The boys are four and a half. Gray is three. And, they take a ball and dribble in the house. They're into – they're having a tough time with understanding that the ball comes back up at whatever velocity they throw it down. So sometimes my team struggles with that too.
So your team split its games last weekend, losing to Yale in overtime and then defeating Brown the next night. Penn's unbeaten, three teams with two losses each. You were one of them, still a long way to go. And let's talk about Bella first. So she put up 38 more against Yale, and then only had 20 against Brown, 20 points, 16 rebounds against Brown, and you didn't really need her down the stretch.
Right.
She's playing at quite a level right now.
No doubt. Yeah, she's really a much improved player. And, she continues to develop her game and her mindset, and she's a real treat, consistency with what I think her Ivy League scoring average in these five games have been upwards of like 33, it's remarkable. It's fun to be a part of it, and I know she continues to want the big picture, and that is to continue to help her team win.
So that does beg one question. Do you start to rely too heavily on one scorer?
One of our keys for, so we learned a lot after the Penn loss, and that was that Bella wasn't playing at a high enough level, right? That changed. And then we learned a lot after the Yale defeat, and that was that our kind of non-feature players, which is basically everyone but Bella, needs to be much more aggressive. I mean, this is, especially on the change of direction, as well as the intangible plays on the offensive glass and in charges taken and things like that. And that they answered the call in a way that if we can continue to grow from our defeats. You got to play playing your best basketball in March if you want to dance, and we're working towards that.
So, just getting back to that theme, though, as I watched the game the other night, as a fan watching it, you're like, well, I want to see Bella get the ball. I want to see her score.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what your focus is as a fan, but you can't have that focus if you're another player on the court. You can't just be, every possession has to run through Bella or else it's a bad possession. And how do you couple those two things?
Well, I think in the quarter court, actually, you can. You can run through Bella because if she's going to score at the percentage that she's doing it, that you like your odds there. But it's that when the other players have maybe half of a person on them or even just one guy and you're not willing to attack there, then you're just putting way too much on you're not putting enough pressure on the other team's defense. So we're really, really working hard on making sure that the non-feature players are making the defense defend them. And I thought we did a good job of that Saturday night.
What do you think of, I know you lost the game, but your comeback at the end of regulation to force the overtime was pretty good. Bella hits a big three, and then Gabrielle Rush, the shot that she took was pretty far out, and it was a no doubt about it, shot with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it was, fun to watch our guys battle. The two stars, both for us and for Yale, scoring over 30, you know, Roxy was averaging, you always love the averages, right? She was shooting 28% from three on the year coming into the game, and she was 6 for 6 in our game. And as I told him after the game, you know, you all inherited a target, and you chose Princeton because of the target. And I'm proud to have the target, and that means you're going to get other teams. The basket's going to look bigger. For those teams, because they got nothing to lose, and so it was a great comeback down the stretch. It was a great game to watch, I'm sure. It wasn't a great game to watch back as a Princeton fan, because I didn't think we played with enough effort, enough intentionality on the offensive end outside of our feature player. But we remedied that pretty quickly for Saturday night.
What do you think of all the big point totals being put up in the Ivy League? Did you notice on the men's side last week?
35, the Yale guy.
Yale guy had 35, Cornell guy had 41, Harvard guy had 44. Did you see the shot that Harvard guy hit?
It was so awesome. I mean, that game was awesome. I sort of watched the last 8 minutes of it.
Harvard-Columbia?
Man,
What's how do you not foul? You're up three. Like, what's your take on the situation? I don't want to second-guess coaches here, but like, what's your take on that in general? Because at the same time, if you foul him while he's shooting a three and he makes all three, you got to go to overtime. And
you got to rebound.
The other thing is the shot itself was like he would hit that shot once out of 30 times.
Exactly.
If you didn't see the shot, it was Bryce Aiken from Harvard, and it wasn't like just a pull up three from 35 feet. There was a guy on him
up and under almost,
and he had to sort of like almost underhand it underneath him, and flip it, like finger roll it into the basket from 30 feet away.
You know, there are a lot of good players in the Ivy League. And I think that's what I would say about having the scoring that we're seeing. I mean, there are bona fide stars in the Ivy League right now. It's almost actually a kind of on both men's and women's side. It's less about the team this particular year and more about the stars, because they're that good. And that's sort of what the pro game is like, right? It's less about the Celtics versus the Sixers. It's more about, you know, what's Kyrie and it's going to do for the Celtics with his support cast, and what is Embiid going to do with his. And so it's fun. It's fun to be a part of a league right now where the players are that good.
So what's your take on a situation like that if you're – team is up by three, and
really depends on a lot of things. How many fouls you have to give, right? As well as, is it a non-shooting? Make sure it's a non-shooting foul. You know, the statistics-wise, I'd like to foul there as best I could. But you know, you also, what are the refs? You know, all that. There's a lot of things to factor. Game happens quickly, and how well. I mean, I remember we were home against Seton Hall with a foul to give. And we told our guys to foul, and they didn't do a very good job of it, and as a result, give up a layup to lose the game, right? So part of it, too, is knowing your team and what they're going to be able to execute in game.
So, you know, what are you thinking Friday night? You know, the game ends, you've lost, you've played a really tough overtime game. I'm pretty sure Bella played 45 minutes. What do you, you know, now you're home or it's Saturday morning. Like, where is your mindset after a loss like that, knowing you have such a quick turnaround?
You know, I've always sort of been a teacher, and so for me it was how quickly can I get some film sessions with our leads, how quickly can I get a film session with our non-feature guys, so that they can understand how to remedy the next step quickly. So I would say I got into teaching mode pretty quickly, set up film sessions for the next morning, and was excited to get back to work.
And then when you get to the gym,
yeah,
what's your set? Like, can you get a read immediately from your team about their energy level for that night, their body language, any of those kinds of things?
You know, it's been a tough group to read on that this year. You know, I think the effort outside of a few of them has been inconsistent, and so as a result, that's not something I ever really understand because of the competitor that I am and how important and how finite your career is. So that's been hard for me to some games I go in and I say, God, they're ready, and then they don't play hard enough to win the game. So that's been a little bit harder for this particular inexperienced group. But I knew that coming into Saturday, they would listen. This is a coach, they listen. And it's a matter of, are they willing to have their bodies do the work?
And then once the game starts, what are you thinking?
So Gray Stone took the first shot, she had the first drive, and then she had the first three. I mean, when our support cast is our non-feature guys, as we call them, they're much better, I think, than they've given themselves credit. And so it was good for them to see that when they listen and execute, we're a better team. So I was excited to watch it, and we had all those alums here. It was cool.
And that was the next thing I was going to talk about is the alumni day for that game. You know, it goes back to the 70s and up through your, you know, most recent alums.
It's, you know, I said it post-game in front of all of them. I, you know, thanked them for showing up. And the thing that makes me most proud in our program is we've had a lot of wins, as you know, and a lot of firsts in the league and some things that will never be surpassed. I mean, we're celebrating that 30-0 team. But it's that the number and the magnitude at which our alums show up, celebrate, fight for, and support our program is unbelievable. I mean, it's unparalleled. And then we after the game, I told them that I really hope that my time at Princeton, I've helped develop our players to grow roots so that they know and are proud of where they came from, but yet also grow wings so that they go fly. And when I have that many alums in the room, man, my alums are flying, you know, in the world, but they have their roots. And so in that, especially after a split weekend, you look out to that crowd and you say, I'm winning. You know, I'm winning with the kind of people I've surrounded myself with.
What are the relationships like between the older alums and the especially the dividing line between people who played for you and then the people who came before you?
We've worked hard on that. I think at first people were, they were separate because, of course, the experiences were so different. Basketball's a higher priority now, and we're better and having better experience now. And the other guys, the younger guys, the older guys were sort of like, oh, you know, how I wish that that was how it was. And now, because they're back so often, it's a real cordial and fun. I mean, we were up at the 56 Lounge in the football stadium till midnight, just reminiscing and laughing amongst all cohorts. So I've really taken real pride, and it's not about me. You know, when I leave here, this alumni group better be as strong as ever. So it can't be the kids that played for me feel more comfortable or more home or more supported than the ones that didn't. It's that doesn't mean that you don't have an alumni group, you have a following. And I don't need a following. I got my young guys follow. My young children follow me around as it is. I have like three barnacles. Seeing our players know that what we've created is long lasting has been really rewarding.
So this weekend is a trip to Harvard and Dartmouth.
Yeah.
We'll start with Friday night at Harvard.
Yeah.
Tough team, tough to play on the road there.
Yeah.
What's your sense on that?
You know, two talented teams that are hungry for wins and that figure to be in the postseason race. So it's a team you could see one of three times. It could be a team you see one of two. And, you know, it's a Friday night, so they get a little bit. The Friday nights in the league, you've had a lot of time to prepare. You know, and obviously being a homecoming game for me, a lot of family and friends up there, it's always fun to be up there.
So what at what point do you start to actually look at the big picture of the league race, or don't you do that?
Since the tournament came in. I mean, since the first day I was told we were going to have an Ivy League tournament, that's what I've been looking at, is to know that, you know, who are those top four teams. And, you know, you want to win the Ivy title every year, and that's kind of your goal, because you hang a banner and it's something that you have forever. But you also want to make sure that how you're playing your games is preparing you to win in March. And so the tournament is absolutely, which teams are going to be in is on my mind all the time.
And what point do you look and see, you know, you got to be in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get home court if you win, so it's at Yale, right? No matter what.
Right.
At what point do you start to look at, you know, who's in five and who's in six, and, like, you know, is there separation between four and five, and how many wins do you think it's going to take to get to four and three, mm-hmm, and two and one?
No, or do you just go weekend by weekend? My dad, who's an engineer, he told me that as long as you have a winning record, you go to the Ivy tournament. Now, I don't know if that's true. If we're talking having a winning record in the Ivy League, then we're really setting our standards below what I want here at Princeton. We're not going to worry about, are we 500 in the league? We're just going to take care of one week
at
a time.
If you know, going back, most years 6 and 8 would have been good enough for fourth place.
Yeah, so I mean, I would really hope that making the Ivy tournament is a given for Princeton. I mean, that's at least well under my watch. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that's a given. And so I really don't worry about 5, 6, or even, you know, I just kind of, knowing that where Harvard is and how they play, knowing they've got a good shot to be in it, it's me getting a look at them in one way. I'll get to see them live this weekend, which is going to help us in March.
And then Saturday night at Dartmouth,
yeah,
you know, where you obviously played.
Yeah.
New Hampshire's your home state.
Yeah.
Will that always be special to you, or is it, you know, you've done it so many times now that...
Yeah, I mean...
What was it like the first time?
Oh, man, it was really hard because it's also, I have my master's from up there. I spent so much time up there. And you go back and you're in the visiting locker room. And I remember being so proud that I was with my current team and what we were doing, even though we weren't very good. But I didn't want that to overshadow in any way that I was being disloyal to the place that took care of me and raised me. But now I've spent more of my adult life down here. And I've spent, obviously, my entire professional life, it feels like, at least in the role of head coach here. So... it's more just that it's home because it's a place I recognize. But
do you go over there and think, you know, maybe you go for a run during the day and you think, well, I live there.
Yeah, I mean, I live right across from the gym. I've made it
there.
Really efficient. Weather's not so good up there, so I live right across from the gym. They have a great little breakfast spot in town that I'll go to every year. I'm there. You know,
which one?
It's called a Lou's.
I think I've been there. Is that the pancake place? Is it Lou's Pancake?
No, it's called Lou's Diner. It's right there on right there on Main Street.
Yeah.
They have a great breakfast sandwich that I love to get.
It's on the same side as the Hanover Inn?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I've been there.
Yep. That's a great spot. And the town's changed a lot since I've been there. You know, like you get at most Ivy League schools, though, it's not a regional base. So none of my graduate or undergraduate friends still live up there. You know, they're all over the world. So it's less about that. It's more about that it's a place that I recognize. But to answer your question, I'm sorry I'm babbling.
It's fine.
I certainly feel a little bit more like, you know, me. I'm proud to bring Princeton back in their gym. And I think they have, I think Dartmouth understands that. I'm also proud to be an alum, and I hope that the work I've done here is honoring them in some way.
So it's Friday night at Harvard, Saturday night at Dartmouth.
5 o'clock. It's an earlier tip.
5 o'clock is Saturday.
Dartmouth. Yeah.
Yes. Which is good because it's a very long ride home.
It is a long ride home.
And it's 6 o'clock on Friday?
It's 7.
7 Friday at Harvard, and 5 o'clock Saturday at Dartmouth. If you're going to be in New England, stop by.
For sure. There's a really good alumni base that shows up every year.
And happy birthday to your daughter.
Oh, I appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day.
To you as well. Yeah. And we will be back here next week talking about those two games. And
how about then, 2 wins? Let's talk about a sweep one of these times. Do you want to do that?
Well, that would be a great thing. And then next weekend, the trip to Penn is still another week after that. We don't have to talk about the 5 games in 8 days quite yet.
No, please
but
no.
We'll get to that as well. So it's Harvard and Dartmouth this weekend on the road. And we'll be back next week on Wednesday to talk to Courtney Banghart. And thank you once again for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
So for Courtney Banghart, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for joining us on the Court Report. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Basketball.